Hey, this is Bradley Weber, and I'm super pumped that you're joining us today. If you're a part of our Release City family, whether in person or online, we would love to connect with you on our social media platforms at Release City Church or on our website at releasecitychurch.org. There, you can stay connected with what's happening within the ministry, as well as giving options and opportunities to connect with other Release City family around the world. Now, I hope today's message encourages you and inspires you to run your race and become all that God is calling you to be. Now, let's jump into today's message.
Come on, if you believe he holds every moment, just somebody shout out, he's got it. He's got it. Just stand up right where you are. Stand up. Find somebody in the room. Make eye contact with them. Not somebody right next to you. Somebody behind you, across the room. Make eye contact. Yeah, you go, I see you. I see you. Bernadette, I see you. He's got it. Tell him. Say, he's got it. He's got it. He's got it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Give him a little high five and you can be seated. He's got it. How many believe that this morning? He does. He does. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you're facing, if you hear nothing else, mic check. Check this one out. God's got you. Whatever you're facing, God's got it. I'm here to declare over your life, whatever it is, take your hands off, God's got it. How many knows when you keep your hands on something, you can mess it up? And all the oh me corner said, oh me, oh me. So if you're listening online today, watching on Facebook or podcast at another time, we want you to know also that God has you tuned in today. Whatever day that is, God has you tuned in today for this moment to hear these words come across your iPod, your radio station, your car. It's going to be all right. God's got you. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Can I just say that, I don't even know if you know this, but every month we get a tabulation. Well, we actually get it every day, but at the end of the month you can see how many people actually tune in to the podcast, and it is right at 1,000 people every month that tune in and want to be a part of what God is doing. Not at Release City, but what God is doing in the kingdom. Amen? Amen. How many knows if the restaurant's good, you'll be back? Okay. Hey, are y'all, is service good? Is service good? Can y'all stick around afterwards for this brief survey? I'm just kidding. Whoa, what would I be opening myself up to? Jesus. And it's so funny because when you have that customer service rep and you have that phone conversation, this has nothing to do with the message, by the way. But they always say, hey, would you stick around for this conversation? I'm like, do you remember the conversation we just had, ma'am? Do you really want me to stick around for this? Anyway. I looked at Amy. She gave me that look as her eyes moved away from me as if to say, keep moving, B, keep moving. How many are ready to jump into the message today? Let's do it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 2 and 3. Matthew chapter 11, verse 2 and 3. I'm going to be reading from the Passion Translation. Actually, different translations throughout this talk this morning. But it simply says this. Now while John the Baptizer, or we know him as John the Baptist, was in prison. Everybody say prison. He was locked up and locked down. He heard about the wonderful deeds of the Christ or Jesus. So he sent his disciples or his followers to ask him this question. Are you really the one the prophet said would come, or should we wait for another? Everybody say he doubted. Nudge your neighbor, tell him, say he did. He doubted. So last week we talked about on Mother's Day. It was kind of a weird weird topic to talk about on Mother's Day, but we talked about hurt. That I mean, it kind of formed into the message of things Mama said, and Mama said the same thing God just said today, and that's take your hands off, let it go, and keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. Because hurt will prevent you from becoming all that God has called you to be. That's why hurt happens. That's why hurt happens. And so last week we talked about hurt and the power of forgiveness. And one of the first things that hurt does is, and I wanted to kind of stay in that vein, one of the first things that hurt does is it causes doubt. And we're going to talk about doubt today. And it is so funny because this morning as I was getting ready, I think a lot about Dad and Robin, and one of the things that Dad had said and had spoken over my life for probably the last few years, and every time he did, I was just like, hey, that sounds real good, but that must be for somebody else. And that was that I would actually write a book, And that sounds like, whoa, whatever. But to me, I thought whatever, because I'm like, I'm a musician. I sing. I'm not a writer. I mean, I guess I enjoy a little bit, and I wouldn't even know the first thing to do. So I just have always put that in the back of my mind. And so this morning, God reminded me. He said, you're going to write a book. I said, what do I have to say that anybody wants to read about, right? I mean, I might could slide a few jokes in there. You know, how many appreciate my jokes in the middle of a message to keep you all awake? Yes. And so I could slide a few jokes in there, but other than that, I don't think it would be anything, you know, that anybody outside my family would want to read about. And so he reminded me this morning. He said, you write about what you go through. And he said, and this is the title that came into my mind was Hurt Beyond Explanation. Hurt Beyond Explanation. And so I told Amy, she goes, well, but everybody hurts. And I was like, ding, ding, ding. That's exactly why he said, that's what you're going to write about. Because it's something that everybody experiences. Everybody experiences hurt. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to get all the juicy details of what hurt may be happening, but it's going to be the realness of hurt happens. And what do you do with that? How do you manage that? And how do you hold on to hope in the midst of hurt? I jumped out of the shower, and probably TMI, but I grabbed my phone, and I'm trying to put some stuff in the notes that he was sharing with me in the shower and things that I wanted to write down. But the biggest one was hurt beyond explanation. Because sometimes hurt hurts so much that nobody can even understand. Your spouse can't understand. Your church can't understand. Your pastor can't. Nobody can understand. That's why I said last week, if you're hurting, the person you need to run to is God. And so to hurt beyond explanation, sometimes you hurt so much and so deep that you can't even put it into words. Anybody ever been there? And so you need a greater hope in the midst of a great hurt. Amen? And so I'm not going to write the book today. I don't even know when it's going to happen. It could be years from now. But I just know that he said it, and today I received it. That settles it. So now the work's up to me. Somebody should receive that for yourself right there. Whatever he says to you, whatever God speaks to you, it's up to you to receive it, claim it, and then roll on with it. Amen? Well, I'm waiting on God. No, he's waiting on you. He already told you what's going to happen. He's waiting on you to do it. He has given you everything you need on the inside to accomplish everything he's called you to, in Jesus' name. So one of the first things hurt does is doubt. We're not talking about hurt today. We're going to talk about doubt. And hurt gets in our head so much and causes us to think crazy things like, well, if they hurt me, they must not love me. Or if they really love me, they wouldn't hurt me the way they have. They don't understand. They don't support me. The Bible says this. See, this is all the stuff that goes on in our head, but the Bible says that as a man thinketh, so is he. So if you're running around and all you're thinking about is the hurt and how many times they did you wrong, you become that. You become the wrong. And then you start doing wrong to others. Hurt people. So I want to speak to you today from this subject, how to manage doubt. How to manage doubt, because the truth is, we must learn to manage doubt before doubt manages us. And I'm just going to be honest, doubt doesn't just manage you, it will ruin you. Doubt will ruin a relationship. Honey, can I see your phone? Where'd you go on that vacation? I'm not vacation. You shouldn't be taking vacations without your spouse. Hello, somebody. Anyway. But now, it is good for men, and it's good for them to take a breather, but vacation would probably not be a good place to start that. But you go on a business trip. Hey, honey, can I see your phone? Where'd you go? What'd you do? Doubt will ruin a relationship. What is doubt? Doubt is displaced or misplaced trust. Doubt is trust in reverse. You're trusting that what you're experiencing is truth. You're trusting what it's doubt. You're trusting the doubt. You're trusting the lie. You're trusting that thought that they're cheating. You're trusting that thought. Doubt is trust in reverse. Doubt is having trust in the wrong thing. I'm giving y'all nuggets as God gave them to me this week. So I hope you're taking these down, because they're going to be good for you this week, I promise. See, there's a reason why God delivers the word that he does on this day, because he knows that you're going to need this word the next 5 days. So if you're just hoping that you remember it all without writing it down, you're sorely mistaken. You're going to need it. I can't tell you the times that I go back and look at message notes and re-preach it to myself when nobody else is in the room. Doubt is when you trust your circumstances rather than trusting God's word. Doubt is when you put your trust in a political party and their power and authority above God's power and authority. I didn't think I'd get a lot of shouts on that one. Listen, I get it. Doubt is nasty. Doubt is evil. Doubt is debilitating. Doubt is deceitful. And not only is it deceitful, doubt is dangerous. Where does doubt come from? Doubt comes from whatever or whoever you're listening to. That's where that comes from. Because it is not our natural ability just to think that I'm going to do this and I'm going to fail. That's not a, it's not natural, it's unnatural. So maybe we have unnatural relationships. So my question is, who are you listening to? What are you listening to? Romans 10:17 says this, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So what's the opposite of faith? Can I submit to you that fear and doubt also come by hearing? If faith comes by hearing the word, what word are you listening to? His word or their word? Are you getting hooked up in their face or Facebook? His face? So it's important that we recognize the importance of who we're connected to, who we're listening to. Listen, whatever you're allowing in is transforming your life, whether you recognize it or not. I could break that down, but that would go too personal. Maybe you remember this thing that Mama said. Garbage in. So what are you taking in? Remember what I said, garbage attracts garbage. Hurt attracts hurt. Everything in your trash can at your house right now, all of that is trash. It's garbage. Hurt is contagious, so is doubt. Write this down. Doubt is designed to distract you, disorient you, and detach you from God, period. That's what doubt does. That's what doubt does. The doubt that the enemy sends is to distract you, disorient you, and detach you from God. Think about what we just read. John the Baptist was in prison. Everybody say he was locked up? He was locked up, and he heard about everything that was happening in Jesus' ministry, and then sends his followers to ask Jesus if he was really the one. Listen, that's scary. John, of all people, knew that Jesus was the one. Matter of fact, John was Jesus' cousin. Matter of fact, you know the story that when Mary was pregnant with Jesus and Elizabeth, who was John's mom, was in the same room and she was pregnant with John, when Mary walked in the room, it said that Elizabeth, the baby within inside of Elizabeth, who was John the Baptist, leaped within her soul. He got the Holy Ghost before he ever came out. Somebody say, right time, right place. So John knew before he already knew. Something inside of him recognized that Jesus was the one. But because of his circumstances, because of where he was, he questioned, was all of the stuff that I've heard, was it really the one? Y'all know when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, it said that when he came up out of the water, a dove came down signifying the Holy Spirit, and a little voice from heaven said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, John's crazy enough to now ask the question, are you really the one? After everything he knows, Jesus, some of y'all have asked the same thing. God, am I really your child? Are you really Lord? You're allowing all of this to happen. Let me tell you something, my friend. Just because it's out of control doesn't mean he lost control. To think that what Jesus is doing, or the lack of how you think he needs to be handling it, would cause us to doubt his authenticity. What he was doing and how things were playing out. See, John thought when the true Messiah would come, that he would come in on a white horse and with a sword, and that he would be making everything right, and he would be returning the Jewish people to their rightful place. That's what John thought, but that's not how Jesus came. How many have ever found out that Jesus doesn't come the way you think he needs to? And he doesn't always come on the time schedule that you think he ought to. Oh, me. I'm going to be real about it today. See, listen, when Jesus came, he didn't come to build the kingdom on earth. He came to build a kingdom in their hearts. It's not about building a church. It's about building the church in you. It's not about elevating Release City. It's about depositing Jesus into your life and then allowing the Jesus inside of you now to elevate you to everything that he's called you to be. I was looking at her, but everybody in the room should have been going, I receive that for me. And here's John in prison. Listen, he's at a place where he's now questioning everything that he had ever heard. And not just things that he had heard, but everything that he had seen with his own eyes. It's kind of like us today. Have you ever thought something was going to turn out one way and it didn't turn out quite the way you thought it would? Where's all my married men at? Have you ever thought at the end of a work week, you've worked all week, this is not me and Amy, by the way, I'm just throwing this out here before you think I'm telling one of our stories, I'm talking about your story. Here it goes. You're on the end of a work week, you've worked real hard, she's worked real hard, and you want to treat her to a nice dinner. Maybe you take off a little early and you go over to Jacksonville, or you go over to Daytona Beach and eat an Aunt Catfish. I don't know how y'all roll or where y'all roll up at, but you want to do something nice for her, and we're men, we're always like to take charge and take authority. And we always make the decisions, don't we, men? Yeah, we do. And so this time we're gonna pause and go, hey babe, what do you, now this might be us, I don't know, I'm just sometimes I insert us into y'all, but anyway, if the shoe fits, put them on. And so you ask the question, hey babe, what do you want for dinner? And she says, oh, it doesn't matter, I'm fine. Single men, that is a lie. She does care. I learned that early on in our marriage. Yeah, this one was I learned that one early on because she did have something. She did have something in mind. How many married men know exactly what I'm talking about? It's okay. You're safe. This safe zone. The safe zone. Now, you want to, whatever arm she's next to, you raise up the other, because if you raise this one up, that's a cheap shot. She got you. So anything that I ask, you always raise up the opposite arm. Okay. And so... And you had something in mind. Come on, man. And so it didn't happen the way you thought it would, because she got home, and your pick was wrong, huh? Yeah, your pick was wrong. So now we have this thing worked out where if I ask her and she says I don't know, I just keep driving by all the restaurants. We'll wind up on the other side of Gainesville by the airport. She goes, "What you doing?" I'm waiting on you to decide, because I am not that fool. I'm not that guy. But so things will turn out in life not the way you planned. You thought you had it all worked out. You thought you had all the perfect elements for an amazing evening with your spouse. And one little slip up caused things not to go the way you planned. It happens all the time in every area of our life, every day, in relationships and outside of relationships. And then what happens is we doubt, well, am I really supposed to be married to him? Or am I supposed to be? He should have known that I don't like this. I only like this. We've been married for 19. Again, I'm not talking about us. I'm just, he should have known after all these years. This is what, I like this. I don't like that. He should know me. Maybe I'm not supposed to be with him or her. You start doubting. Doubt is a destroyer. Say this word, say disappointment. Disappointment is the road that leads to doubt, that if you don't stop going down and traveling down that road, if you don't stop and turn around, you will end up at a destination called destruction. We've all experienced disappointment in our lives. So what do we do with it? We've all experienced moments of doubt where you thought things would end up one way, but instead it turned out another. You thought the marriage would be one way by now, but it's another. You thought your financial situation would be one way, but it's another. You thought you'd get that promotion at work. Didn't happen. It's kind of like hearing your friends talk about a party that you look on Facebook and realize you didn't get invited to. Miss Pearl, was that you, or are you just clearing your throat? Oh, okay, because that's to me, that sounded like, yes, Pastor B, I know, I did not get invited. Somebody in this room, she wasn't clearing her throat at me. She's always welcome at our home. She was clearing her throat for somebody in here, did not invite Miss Pearl to the party. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Say, things don't always happen the way you want them to. Some of y'all were looking at your spouse. I don't know why. I can't help you. I can only help you when I help you. If you launch out there like that, Brody, you okay? Okay. Hey, I'm so glad you're here today. Are y'all ready? Are y'all ready? Y'all ready? What's the due date? Y'all give it up for Brody. I was expecting Sarah to come up with it. Brody got the date. Yes, sir, buddy. $10 after church. I just set you up, bro. I just set you up. That was so good. It was priceless. Didn't happen the way I thought it would, but that was even better. Listen, there is nothing worse than feeling left out by family, by friends, by your church. There is nothing worse than feeling like you've been left out by God. When you believe that God would come through for you one way, but the way you see it is he didn't come through at all. Because we think that our way is the way he should. When God didn't answer that prayer the way you wanted him to, write this down. God doesn't always live up to your expectations, but he always lives up to his word. He's not always going to do it the way you think he needs to, but he'll always do it in accordance to his word. So maybe our lives should line up to his word, and then things would actually line up with the way we. If God said he would never leave you, guess what? He'll never leave you. If God said he would never forsake you, he never will. He didn't promise that he would deliver you and I from every terrible situation that we would go through, but he did promise that he would be right in the middle of all of that mess. Y'all remember that song? Where my church people at? He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He's an on-time God. I know you. Yes, he is. Well, he may not come when you... I just need to give the altar call right now. Y'all ain't been in church in a while. If y'all don't know he's an on-time God, yes, he is. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. I used to hate when that little sister come up to me. Brother Bradley, I know you're having an issue, but he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. And I just want to look her right back in the face and go, whose time schedule is he on anyway? Because it clearly is not mine. Note, we need to put that song in the repertoire for worship. I mean, that's a good old song, man. He's an on-time God. He may not come when you want him to, but he will always be there right on time. You may see no food in your cupboard on Monday, but I guarantee you, you will not lack and you will not go hungry if your life is surrendered to him. Because the Bible says he even cares about the birds of the air. He's not going to let you miss out. You prayed about something and you thought that it would happen this way and it didn't even happen that way. It didn't even look nothing like that. Listen, unmet expectations is the breeding ground for hurt, which will lead to doubt. Unmet expectations is the breeding ground. It is where hurt develops unmet expectations. You should have known. You should have. This is so important to me. Unmet expectations will cause hurt that will then lead to doubt. And if you don't get that thing turned around, it will lead you to destruction. What are you expecting God to do today? What did you come in here today wanting him to do? What are you believing God for? What breakthrough are you needing? He gave me this morning. Breakthrough starts with you and in you, not him. The breakthrough that you're needing does not start with him. It starts with you. Now, on-time God, yes, he is. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. That is good preaching, but it does not make sense in our lives when we hit a brick wall. And it doesn't make sense when we find ourselves in a bind, all bound up. You can always tell people who are hurt because they're bound up. They walk around like this. You can't give them no love because you can't receive nothing like this. Come Christmas time, tell somebody that's their gift. Hey, that's your gift. Right? No. In order for me to receive the breakthrough, I've got to have open hands. And an open hand is a sign of surrender. It's saying, God, that's why it's so important. I say it every week. I'm going to say it again. That's why the Bible says lift up holy hands in worship, not when you feel like it, but even when you don't feel like it. Because that's a sign of surrender, going, God, this has been one of them weeks. You know all about it. I ain't got to use no foul language. You know, this week was horrible, but I still worship you regardless. In spite of my circumstances, all to Jesus, all of it, what they said, what they're doing, and how they're treating me, I surrender all of it to you. Somebody said, well, that's me. No, I'm not asking you to say it. I'm saying, somebody in the room is saying, yeah, that's me. But hear me, if you have a problem with doubt, you're in good company, because the Word of God is full of people who have doubted God. Now, we don't preach that because that's not good preaching. We like to preach stuff like just good groceries, good stuff. We don't like to put an emphasis on the attitudes. I think if we would actually be real, and let's talk about the disciples who had an attitude with God. Let's talk about the people that God used, regardless of the fact that they walked away from Him. Let's talk about that. It would actually make more sense for us if we could see the real, if we would look, put a magnifying glass on the realness of the people God used in spite of their messy lives. I was just running around that campfire right there trying to find a way to put the log on. I just couldn't. But it's there. It's hot. I'm telling you, it's hot. One of the guys that illustrates this more than anybody that I know, and his name is Job. Everybody say Job. Job went through all kinds of heartache and pain and struggles and trials. And one of Job's most famous statements was this: though he slay me, still will I trust him. If I lose everything, I'll still trust him. Can you say that? That's what Job said. We preach that and say that no matter what you're going through, trust God. That preaches real good until you're the person bound up. You may be sitting here today and go, yes, I believe that. But what's going to happen tomorrow when your world gets flipped upside down, or you lose a loved one, or something happens? Are you still going to say, I trust God? Or are you going to be bound up? You're going to be hurt and then get into doubt and go, well, I don't even know if God really exists. He shouldn't allow me to do this. I've been paying my tithe. I come to church. I do everything. Let me tell you something. When you do all the things that God is asking you to do according to His word, you put a bullseye on your back. A bullseye on your back for the enemy. And the higher up you go means the target range is much clearer for the enemy. If you just stay down low, how low can you go all the way to the floor? If you stay down here and you don't ever make moves, if you don't ever make moves in the kingdom, you just kind of hiding out. I'm coming in. I'm going to come in after the second song, and maybe I won't have to be asked to do anything. I won't have to serve. Let me tell you something. You're not going to get the enemy. There may be a little argument or something in your house, but it's when you actually, man, I wish I could. It's when you actually get up high. I'm not going to, because it ain't going to hold me. If you get up high in the kingdom, when you actually start making crazy moves for the kingdom, it puts the target on your back and the enemy can see it. There's no way for him to miss you. If you don't want to ever accomplish anything great in the kingdom, don't do anything. That wasn't real deep. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. We preach that. We don't typically preach Job 14:19, where he says, same guy. Y'all hold your toes in, because this one's gonna get you. As water wears away the stones and floods wash away the soil, so you, O Lord, destroy people's hope. This is the same guy who said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Basically, what Job was saying was, see, we don't preach that message. Are you going to keep lying to me? You're going to keep lying to me? Nobody's putting the God of hope destroying. Nobody puts that on a bracelet. Hey, y'all get your hope. God destroys hope bracelet. Nobody's putting that on a t-shirt. Huh? That's not the scripture memory verse for the kids. Next. Yeah. Francis, just keep putting that good stuff in that tea. I'm just telling you. That honey sure tastes good. We're not putting that on a scripture verse. Go home and tell your mom and dad, kids, God destroys hope. Have a great week. We're not preaching that. But this is Job, the same one who said, if I lose everything, I'll trust him. And then he gets to a point in his life where things are crazy. And he goes, are you going to keep lying to me? Does that sound like anybody in here? Don't raise your hand. Just on the inside. Another guy in the Bible, Jeremiah, wrote two books in the Bible, Jeremiah and Lamentations. He's a powerhouse man of God. We highlight Jeremiah 29:11. I have plans for you, plans to prosper you, give you hope in a future, not to destroy you, not to harm you. We love to preach that because that's what he said. But this is also the same guy who said, why has my pain been endless and my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you indeed be to me like a deceptive stream with water that is unreliable? I don't know about you. I'll be scared to pray that prayer. He's the unreliable God. Hashtag. What'd he say? Basically, he just asked God, you gonna keep lying? You gonna be unreliable? What about Elijah? One of the most powerful men in the Bible. I call him Elijah. He prayed stuff that happened. He said, it's not going to rain for three. And it didn't rain for 3 years. After 3 years, Elijah comes back up and rolls up on the prophets of Baal. Y'all know the story. I encourage you to read it if you haven't. That the people of God were worshiping. And basically what Elijah said was, it was a showdown on Mount Carmel. And they built an altar. And Elijah said, you pray to your God and I'll pray to mine. Whichever one answers by fire, that's the one true God. The prophets, they did their thing. Nothing happened. And Elijah actually had some. Can't use that word. He had some, well, I can't use that one either. Doggone it. Somebody say, but why are you thinking it then, Pastor B? You might as well say it. Y'all ever said that? You thinking it, so you might as well say it. Father, forgive them for tempting their pastor right now. He had the brassness. Is that better? He had the tact. He had the gall. He had the gall to say, maybe your God's asleep. I mean, they're praying down fire, nothing happening. And then when it's his turn, he digs a ditch all the way around. He builds up an altar, puts a sacrifice on it, and then pours all this water on it, so much that it fills up the entire ditch around it. And he prays, and fire falls on and burns up everything. This is a man of God, right? Everybody say right. He's a powerhouse. All of this is happening, and then he gets a letter from the queen. She not happy about the way he treated her boys, them prophets of Baal. So she threatens to kill him for what he did. What was Elijah's response? Same man who called down fire. Same man. See, so don't think that when stuff happens to you that something's wrong in your communication with God. That's the time you need to hook up and make sure you got a clean communication line. Come on, somebody. What'd he say? 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3 through 5 says this. It'll be on the screen for you. This was Elijah's response. And he was afraid. He was afraid and got up and ran for his life. Everybody say, he gone. He gone and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree and asked for himself to die and said, enough, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father. Same guy who had such a communication line with God to call down fire. He gets a threat, and now he's running for his life. How's that translate to us? You have a good week. Everything's going good. God is opening doors. You're getting promotions. You're getting raises. Things are great in the ministry. And then all of a sudden, something bad happens, and we tuck our tail. You're in good company. See, I'm telling you that so that you don't doubt his love for you regardless of what's going on. You may not be in prison like John, but you bound. How did he go from a great man of God to, hey, kill me now? He went from a man of faith to a man of fear. What changed for John? Let's go back to John. Let's go back to our text. What changed for John the Baptist? His perspective changed. He was in prison. Write this down. A prison perspective will always cause you to doubt your destiny. You may not be in the Levy County jail lockup, but you may be bound up. You may be, it could be addiction. You could just be so on lockdown. Listen, a lockdown perspective or a prison perspective will always cause you to doubt your destiny and where God is calling you to be. I know this to be true in my own life. When things don't happen the way you think they will, you start doubting God. You fill in the blank. Listen, you can be the very one encouraging people and telling them that God's got great things in store for them, but when life hits you, where'd that nugget go? Out the back door. It's true. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're questioning where is God? Maybe you've been hit with fear, doubt, depression, and anxiety. Maybe somebody you trusted failed you. In closing, I don't know what brought you here today. I don't know if you just came because that's what you do. I don't know if you came because it makes you feel better. I don't know if you came because you've hit a brick wall. You don't know where to turn. I'm telling you today, you need to turn to Him. You came to the right place. You may not have felt like being here, but congratulations, you pressed on and got here anyway. I don't know who needed this word today that you've been hurt, but I'm here today to tell you, God understands. You may have been hurt beyond explanation, but God understands. You don't even have to explain it to Him. He already knows. Sometimes you don't have to tell God anything. You just got to get up in His presence and crawl up in His lap and receive His love. You hear me say that a lot in the middle of worship, especially on songs of love, and I'll say, God, I receive Your love because I receive it. See, what we're doing up here isn't, we're leaders to lead people so they understand that even though I don't understand, I trust You, God. It's hard to say I trust You, God. Man, when I'm desperate, I get up in Your grill. If You've got something I need and You're wanting to give that to me freely, I pick on you all the time, don't I? But you must not mind, because I told you 2 weeks ago to go sit in the back if you didn't like it, right? That was a joke. I love Jonathan. If you had something that I needed, not wanted, but needed, and you were going to give it to me, all I got to do is receive it. I'm not going to walk around like, you know, hoping He's going to drop it to me. You know, it's been a bad week, you know. No. And I'm all up. I don't even have to say anything. That's the beautiful thing about God. We get so off of ourselves and messed up in our head because I got to come up with this eloquent prayer. You got to say a word. Just show up in His presence. Just show up in His presence. Somebody said, well, I'm doing that. I'm coming to church. I'm getting in His presence. Okay. Well, guess what? I said this earlier. To show Him that I want to receive what He's got. Because just me getting in His presence doesn't say. Now, we have kids, so we know. We got kids, right? Angela Grace wants to go somewhere or go to the store. She don't say nothing. She come and look. Dexter and Cooper do the same thing. When they got to go outside, I'm not comparing my child to a dog. When they got to go somewhere, Dexter just give me that stare. Same thing. You can't just come to church and get in His presence. You got to show Him. It's mine. I receive it. So it's not a performance. It's not a He's just trying to get us to raise our hand. It's not that. It's so that what we are tapped into. Stay with me. It's what we're tapped into. It's available to you. I'm trying to get you to a place where you'll receive it. So I'm going to get past this when I say, if you feel comfortable or not, lift your hands. Mm-mm. If you want it, take it. You get it. It's yours. Come on, somebody say, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Maybe you're here and you're doubting everything. You doubt that God could even love you, keep loving you, after all the mistakes you made just this week. Where's all my real people at that made mistakes in the last 7? You're doubting, how in the world could he love me for that? I had a stank attitude this week. I mean, it was ugly. 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 But I'm here to tell you, I made it right with the Father. Remember what I told you? You didn't got to go to nobody. Father, forgive me. That was not. Didn't represent you. Maybe that's you today. God, I blew a gasket this week. How in the world could he love me? Tell that doubt to go back to hell, because that's where it came from. Listen, your faith in believing in him and believing that he still loves you, your faith is more important to God than your failure. Write that down. I think it's there. Your faith is more important to God than your failure. All of us have failed. All of us have made mistakes. Simon Peter failed. And listen, and Jesus knew he was going to fail and told him the time frame that Peter was going to fail. You'll deny me 3 times before that rooster crows. Not me, God. Not me. In the right set of circumstances, with the right hurt and the right doubt and the right scaredness. That's not a word. You will be pushed. But we got to get to a place where they push our buttons. We don't respond. Listen, God's not worried about your failure. He's concerned with your faith. In Luke 22, it is that story. Jesus told Peter that he prayed for him that his faith would not fail. In the midst of you, denying me, my prayer for you is that your faith would not fail. And so what he's saying is, you're gonna mess up. So whoever you are, you're still gonna mess up. We'll pray in just a minute, go home and eat some lasagna or whatever y'all fix at your house. Let us know, we coming. You could go home, have a great week, and all of a sudden something happened and you'll lose all of it. Listen, you're gonna mess up. Hear me, that's not good preaching. Well, man, pastor, you're supposed to be helping them not to. Why are you telling them it's okay to? What I'm telling you is, don't let the doubt of the enemy bombard your head. You're going to mess up, and God loves you through it anyway. Okay, I'm done. I'm done. My message is simply this. Oh, write this down. Even when you doubt, God still shows up. That's what that story was all about. Even when you doubt, God will still show up. My message today is simply this. No matter how many times you have failed, no matter how many times you may have doubted him, God will always show up. Will you stand with me all over this room?
If you enjoyed today's message, I want to encourage you to like it or share it on social media, or head over to our website at releasecitychurch.org and click on the giving link and help us to continue to share the message of Jesus and his hope with the world. God bless you. Have an awesome week.